We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, welcome to the Her Hoop Stats podcast. I'm Gabe Ibrahim, and we hope you are enjoying this podcast on a podcast app on which you're subscribed to the feed or on YouTube where you subscribe to our channel, because we are talking about WNBA free agency from now until like the end of free agency, which should be in like a month. In order to do that, I'm talking to Sabrina Merchant, SB Nation writer for basketball. She does the Clippers, but more importantly for us, she does the Sparks. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Sparks and just everything that's happening in WNBA free agency. So Sabrina, how are you doing today?
I'm a little bored, I got to be honest. When you invited me to come on the podcast, I expected us to have lots of big news to talk about. And I mean, what are we waiting for?
It's funny because I remember when we talked about this like 2 weeks ago, maybe. I was like, well, by then, Phoenix will have a head coach. Surely. At the very least, we'll be able to talk about Phoenix's new head coach. Of course, the Phoenix Mercury have not hired a new head coach. This is somewhat on you as their mock offseason GM, for not hiring a coach. Would you like to issue a statement to clarify what's happening?
That's probably why I didn't do anything during the mock offseason. I wanted to hire the coach first and then address all of the personnel issues.
Yeah, I would think the Mercury would like to do that too, but yet we still do not have a head coach.
Make Penny Taylor do it.
Someone's doing it. They released Megan Walker, which is something we can talk about. But I don't know who's there. Rumors are is that it's Stephanie White. Shams reported that Teresa Witherspoon's out of the picture, which is interesting.
As a Clippers writer, I'm totally on board with Natalie Nakase, who's a G League Clippers head coach.
Yeah. I didn't want to go here first, but let's go here first. Who is she? I didn't know much about her until I saw her name in the report about.
She's a Southern California native, played basketball here, went to UC Irvine. She did like a bunch of coaching clinics, camps, and ended up, latching on with the Clippers, like first with Summer League. And then as an assistant coach, she did player development. It's funny because she did a lot of player development for the bigs. And if you don't know who Natalie Nakase is, she's about 5'2". Yes. So seeing her work with like Boban is just delightful on so many levels. So she's had a lot of opportunities in the organization. She was on like the NBA staff. She's been on the G League staff the last 2 years, in the bubble, the G League bubble last year.
Okay.
A lot of players who weren't necessarily assigned to the Clippers, because like not everybody had a team there, just had rave reviews about her and like how good she was at explaining things and getting on their level. I'm a fan. She's like really easy to talk to, super sharp. I recommend a profile by Melissa Rowland on Fox Sports about her. We'll link to that. But yeah, I think she's whip smart, and the Clippers have like nothing but good things to say about her, which they usually make fun of all their assistants. But
No, and that's interesting. Like I'd never heard about her, and the only reason, like, I saw her name on the report, I kind of like shot away from that, was because she hasn't been a head coach, and I'm just really in on the Mercury just getting someone to coach, you know, the WNBA finals participant Phoenix Mercury, so to keep the ship kind of going. But it would be interesting for them to go younger and invest in someone that has more I guess more upside, because we just don't know who she is as a head coach yet.
Yeah, I misspoke real quick. She had a scholarship at UC Irvine. She ended up going to UCLA. So right. Even more Southern California, you know, stuff for now.
Yeah. And she was at UCLA a long time ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like 40. So just do the math backwards, I guess. Yeah.
Interesting. So that's an interesting name that we had talked about her on Courtside a couple weeks ago when that first report came out. So it'd be interesting to see where Phoenix goes. Obviously, they still need a head coach, I think.
In theory.
Diane Taurasi being head coach, I'm not sure that would work. It would be really fun, though, and they should do that if anyone in Phoenix is listening.
Yeah, I don't know that Diana wants to waste her last year like that.
Claire coach. She'll essentially coach the team to a certain extent, right? Like, that's what Diana does. I guess. I don't know. I don't know how much she involves herself in all that.
I would imagine Sandy exercised a lot of influence as coach last year. So, oh, yeah. Or the last 8 years, you know. But if you bring in someone who's a rookie, then presumably Diana would have significantly more influence. But that's why Stephanie White's a little more interesting, because she's not a rookie, right? She's got that experience with the Sky as an assistant, right? Coaching the Fever. She went to the finals with the Fever. Like,
yeah. And she was most recently at Vanderbilt. And she's on our TV screens all the time, which would be nice, because then we have like some ways to figure out what she's going to do as a coach now. But she was at Vanderbilt until last year. So she's still deep in the game. So it's not like it's not like she hasn't been around. It's just she's been on TV for like the last year. So I think that'd be a good hire. I mean, Phoenix in terms of an offseason is not as interesting as one would hope, as you found out in the mock offseason, because they don't have much to do. As I mentioned, though, they've waived Megan Walker to make space for a qualifying offer for Kia Nurse. That's all fine and good if you don't think Megan Walker's a part of your future. However, I don't think there's a way they can keep Nurse on this roster if she's going to be out for the entire year. She tore her ACL in what was that, the semifinals, right?
Yeah, game four of the semifinals,
she tears her ACL. So she's probably not going to be back next year. And they have had, they kept Bria Hartley on the roster the season before that, or last season, excuse me, with that injury, but they were paying her a lot more money. So I'm just not sure how they can keep Kia Nurse on this roster and still fill it out and keep Kia Vaughn as well.
Yeah, my move during the mock draft season was to waive Kia Vaughn instead of Megan Walker, because one, she's making more money. And two, it just seems like when you have Brittany Griner and Breonna Turner, it's more use to have a wing in addition to that instead of another big.
One would think.
Hey.
and the thing is, too, though, like, they still need to, I mean, they still will probably have to waive her if they want to do almost anything. If Sophie Cunningham gets above the max, they're going to probably have to restructure Kia Vaughn's contract. Now, here's the theory I have, and let me know if this is like, if this is not something a WNBA team would do, because it's a little skeezy, I'd say, is like they're holding on to Kia Vaughn now in order to let free agency play out a little bit. And then they're going to try to sign someone. And if it works, they'll try to, you know, release Kia Vaughn and re-sign her to a lesser contract. I'm not sure if they would or could do that.
So didn't Phoenix do that with somebody else like not too long ago, and that player got really offended by it? Was that January?
Oh, maybe it was. I don't remember. I don't remember this. I need to ask Richard about this actually.
Yeah. So I remember Phoenix waiving someone, bringing them back at a lower number, like late in free agency, and then them immediately leaving the next offseason. But I mean, if it's only a 1 year window, then you can afford to alienate as many people as you want. But the Kia Nurse thing is so fascinating to me, because like at the same time that it is a 1 year window, I thought she was so good in the playoffs last year that she's exactly the kind of player you want for Skylar and Brittany Griner later on, you know, once Taurasi retires. And again, I don't particularly understand the cap mechanics of how they could handle Canners this year. Like, could they ask her to sit out a year for personal reasons? I don't know. Would that be against the WNBA CBA? Probably. But if there is a wink, wink understanding to be had, I find it far more compelling in the Kia Nurse direction than the Kia Vaughn direction.
Yeah, I remember there was a situation last year where someone signed someone who was injured and they ended up having to pay because they knew about the injury when they signed. I'm not entirely sure if that went through or how that happened, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she decides to sit out a la Alicia Clark last year, who signed, then got hurt, and then was suspended for the full season, yet still hung out with the team. I think that'd be beneficial to them.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they can get that salary cap relief because
right.
The
injury was sustained during the WNBA season, not during international commitments.
So. Exactly. So it's on them at that point. And they knew about it before signing the contract too. So there's I think it would definitely count against the cap if they were to sign her. Now, the interesting part of it would be if they kind of use this time to say, hey, we're going to take care of you this year, but you're going to take care of us next year. So we're signing a 2-year deal, you know, at lower than your market value to allow you to rehab this year and still be with our team in 2023. Issue is 2023, the only player on the salary cap sheet for the Mercury is Skylar Diggins-Smith. So it kind of feels like next year at least from a contract perspective, could be the last year. So I'm not sure they want to use that on Kia Nurse.
Yeah. It's tricky. She could also just personally decide like not to take the qualifying offer
and yeah. just
suspend herself for a season under the understanding that Phoenix will take care of her afterwards. But it's so tricky with a hard cap. My goodness. Like the mechanics that you have to go through.
Yeah, I know. We need some salary cap relief. Just like the pressure in the bubble for the salary cap is too much. Like we need something to just let teams go a little bit above or a little bit below and in the off season, because you can do it during the season. I think Chicago and Phoenix did that. They both went over the cap last year, but it's like with COVID and you have to bring in a bunch of new players, like you need just a little bit more space in the off season. I'm all for roster expansion. That doesn't seem like it's going to be happening anytime soon.
Yeah. You need a salary cap bump if you're going to get roster expansion too.
And maybe it could happen. I don't know. I don't know what the chain of events is, because this salary cap is expiring in 2027. So it seems like no one's going to have any sort of reason to change it. But I just think we're getting to a point where it's like next year, I'm not sure who has cap space enough to pay all these players that we want in the league.
Right. Because the max jumped so much more than the actual salary cap did.
Yes.
Percentage wise. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it jumped up and there's no, I guess there wouldn't be any cap smoothing, but... In both the NBA and the WNBA, they're just like, it'll be fine. Complete chaos ensued.
But that's actually a question I wanted to ask you just real quick before we get to Spark stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think roster expansion is preferable to like league expansion or just more feasible?
So I've been personally on the train of roster expansion. Like, hey, cool. New teams are awesome. That's great. But I don't think it solves the problem of one, there not being enough spots for enough players. Two, these sorts of injury issues where we're talking about with Kia Vaughn, for example, Kia Nurse, like her injury has now caused a chain where it's like, there's two players that might get released because of her one injury. So I think it would relieve a lot of that stress, and it would relieve a lot of the developmental stress of like, we can pick a third round player and keep her on the roster. If we have, 15 spots rather than 12, because 12 spots, you're going to probably need everyone to at least be able to play. So it gives a little bit more development. So yeah, I'm for roster expansion. I know a lot of people, and I don't know where you stand on this, but I know a lot of people want league expansion.
Yeah.
But I'm all for the roster.
I'm definitely more in favor of league expansion just because one, I think it adds more spots.
It does.
Like simultaneously. And then two, I just look at all these teams that like by the end of the year when they're like chugging along for the playoffs, the young players don't get time at all. Like I'm thinking of like Chelsea Dungy in Dallas, but like how much did we see her? And with a 40-minute game, it's so hard to get 12 players in rotation as is. So I'm sort of a belief that 12 is fine for 40 minutes. Okay. If you want to like extend the game, like Cheryl Reeve talks about, getting to 48 minutes, then why not add more players? But as it stands, I just feel like we wouldn't be able to see any more of the players if we did get roster expansion.
No, you're right. And I do think it would have to go along with some sort with game expansion, but I don't, I guess that's not going to happen. That is something that I've never, like, it's never once made sense to me why in the WNBA we have 40 minute games.
Everybody plays 40 minutes other than the NBA. The NBA is weird.
Well, but the NBA is the, like, we have to, you know, at this, right? Like the WNBA, we're at the same level as the NBA in terms of the competition. Especially level.
Like that the W is the same as international and,
fair enough.
You know, EuroLeague and things like that. I like the 40 minute game so much more.
It's true. But it's better. It is better. But it's like, I don't know. I do want to see, I just want to see it one-to-one, right? I want to be able to say, hey, this person's shooting whatever as compared to someone else. As people who are in both leagues, mm-hmm. like fan-wise, I just want to be able to compare it really easily. But I get it. I think you're right, probably. The 40 minute.
As long as we get something that adds more WNBA mm-hmm. basketball, I will support it.
Yeah, and there's like, I mean, we could talk about Athletes Unlimited. Probably at the end, we got a lot more free agency mm-hmm. stuff to talk about, but I kind of want to see how that works out too, because there's some players that I'm interested in. So more women's basketball at the pro level mm-hmm. seems great, especially on U.S. soil, because I can't keep track of when the EuroLeague games are. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Have you watched any this year?
I watch actually a lot on YouTube. Okay. It's pretty good. So for me, it's pretty early in the morning, so I can like do it like before I start my other work, so to speak. Right. But I can understand if you're on the East Coast, it's like just like smack in the middle of the day and like not very useful.
I'm usually sitting here talking into a microphone when those games are happening. So it's a little difficult to watch, but it I like EuroLeague. It's just, and it's super accessible. I'll give them that. The YouTube.
But I'm with you. Like American soil games are just by definition more accessible.
Or the other thing that Sue Bird's been on, let's put the WNBA season in basketball season. I like the summer in terms of, you know, we have our own time and all that, but I like it to be in at least
somewhere. I worry about arenas for that format.
Yeah. That's why we need to go. That's why we need to get more arenas too. And the Dream have one.
But even the Dream, they share theirs with the Atlanta Hawks G League team.
That's true. And yeah. so do the Mystics. They have their own arena, but it's shared with the right. G League team for the Go-Go, I believe.
I like the summer. I think like if soccer can have the summer and everyone pays attention, I think that, you know, basketball can have the summer too. But these are all things that we did not decide to talk about in addition to sports.
We just got downhill with the changes we've made to the league. Let's get into the changes we'd make to the Los Angeles Sparks. Mm-hmm. The main reason, I guess, you came on to this podcast, I suppose. The question I had was, who is more stuck, Phoenix or Los Angeles? We've laid out all the reasons why Phoenix is super stuck. Why do you think Los Angeles is also in a similar position of being stuck with the roster?
Well, just like salary cap wise, they've already given out their 6 protected contracts. Mm-hmm. I would gather that at least 3 of them are not positive value contracts at this point. So that puts the Sparks in a little bit of a bind. And among their unprotected contracts, it's literally the youth, like the core of the team. I can't imagine mm-hmm. them wanting to deal Brittany Sykes or Jasmine Walker or Relic Arantes, right? Like mm-hmm. there's just no sense in moving on from any of those players, considering how well Sykes performed last year and just how invested they are in this rangy wing movement that Fisher's trying to do in the post Candace Parker, Chelsea Gray era. So they just have so many things already committed on their cap sheet, which makes it hard to imagine that they have a lot of maneuverability. But at the same time, like, I think they might have a little more flexibility than Phoenix, just because even though their money is committed, it's committed in like smaller chunks, which I think are more movable than like Bria Hartley.
Right. No, for sure. And I mean, the people you're talking about here are Chinee, Agu Mike, mm-hmm. Amanda Zowie B, Gabby Williams, Erica Wheeler. Is Gabby, Gabby's protected too?
Gabby's right? protected. Yeah. They gave her an extension immediately upon the trade that brought her in from Chicago last year.
Right. So that's 3 of them. We got Erica
Wheeler. Like unseen protected contracts.
See how that works. Although I do really like Gabby Williams. I think that's going to be a fine deal. And she played well last year in her international games, but I think that one's fine. But then we got Erica Wheeler, Christy Tolliver, and Nneka Egumike. Nneka's the cornerstone. So I don't think we need to talk much about her, but I think everyone else, like you're mentioning, those are movable contracts. I think the big domino though, that has to kind of fall is like whether Chinee is coming back or whether she's going to, like, how committed is she going to be to playing the season? She was there last year. She was just hurt. for big chunks of the season.
Right.
But she did show up. So if she shows up, it becomes extremely difficult to fit everyone else in that they want to keep, I think.
Yeah. And when I talked to Chene back in November, I guess she was 100% focused on coming back. Yeah. So that would be the goal, I'm assuming, unless there is some sort of setback in terms of her preparation. I would assume that she is planning on coming back, which just makes some really weird roster balance issues because Chene's a center. Mm-hmm. NECA is more of a power forward, but also big. Amanda Zawabe is a center. Lauren Cox is a center. So what are you planning to do with three centers while you're trying to play this switchy, like fast break system? Doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I will say that the Amanda Zawabe contract was probably the most confusing of last year's offseason.
Yeah.
Just did not make a ton of sense. And while it was great to have Zowie around when they suffered all of those other injuries to the Rivers, oh my God, I didn't even mention Maria Vadiva, another potential center who could come over. It was great to have her around when nobody else was available. I just don't know what role she fits on a healthy version of the Sparks.
Yeah. And I don't see much of a fit there with the entire idea that you're talking about, which is part of the reason why this offense was, we'll say, miserable. It was miserable. It was worse than bad. There's bad, and then there was the Los Angeles Sparks offense from last season. So,
yeah, my co-host on the Step Through, Evan Gualberto, likes to talk about like windshield wiper plays, like when the ball just gets turned over back and forth, and like immediately like just switches sides of the court. Like that happened a lot with the Sparks. They forced so many turnovers, like at the perimeter. It's a remarkable strength of their defense. But then they would also just give it right back.
Yes. They were, I think, let's see, the offensive rating was 90.5 last season, 12th, obviously. Yeah. As you mentioned, the defense was great. And Evan is a great follow on Twitter, if anyone. I'm guessing most people who listen to this particular podcast probably already follow Evan.
You should follow Evan because he clips things during games and makes it very helpful to follow along.
It teaches you a lot about basketball. And most of the stuff I say on most of my podcasts come from either him or like Nikias or someone on Twitter. I'm just repeating. So I would go follow him. But on the Sparts, that is really true. The windshield wiper idea of like, we're just passing the ball around in the perimeter. And again, this doesn't make a lot of sense because this team has like 8 million centers to use at any given time. So they do need a lot of tweaking. Maybe there's a trade that can happen here. You're not moving NECA.
Correct.
You're probably not moving NECA. You're not moving NECA. Okay. I'll stop. Yeah. They're not moving NECA, which means you're not moving Chene. So if Chene wants to come back, she'll come back. Then you have the rest of these contracts. You're not moving Gabby Williams, just traded for her. So everyone else here is probably on the block. So Tolliver, Wheeler, Zowie B. In terms of just from the Sparks perspective, before we get into what their value is, which one of those three do you think would be the one they would like to trade the most?
I would think Zowie. Erica Wheeler was actually pretty good for the Sparks last year. Didn't make the ballot for the All-Star game, but hey, I thought she was pretty decent. Really good pick and roll operator. Definitely gets swallowed up when you can put a big guard on her, which we saw most notably against Connecticut, but Connecticut gives everybody problems. So that's neither here nor there. I think Erica Wheeler and Tolliver, they went 10-9 with her in the lineup last year. So if she had been healthy longer, she had this like fluke eye injury that kept her out of the end of the season.
Yeah, that was weird.
And, just the spacing that she provides, like one quality shooter on the Sparks lineup makes a world of difference. So I think, Zowie is the one they'd want to move because just the glut of options at center. And I'm not sure that she does enough like for their weaknesses, like rebounding wasn't good enough there. And then just being able to come out and guard on the perimeter, they have more faith in their other options than Zowie.
And that'd be huge to move Zowie B because it's $139,000 of cap space that they can immediately use to bring back Nia Coffee, which is probably their biggest goal. And I will apologize for not sending Nia Coffee back to LA during the mock off season. Sent her to Indiana for a bunch of different reasons that made sense then. And then when I listened back to it, I was like, I don't think she'd do that. But the thing is, she may price herself out of the market if they don't get a trade done for Zowie B. Because as it stands right now, for any of these players, it's not necessarily Zowie B. Right. Any of these players, if they keep their roster as is, it's going to be really hard to keep Coffee on roster. I mean, right now they have, without including, you know, Lauren Cox, let me put him in. I'll put Lauren Cox and Taya Cooper's numbers in. Mm-hmm. And we don't have enough to sign Nia Coffee. So right. You're choosing between Cox and Coffee. And then it's like, even if you cut Cox in favor of Coffee, you may not get her because she's an unrestricted free agent.
Right. Yeah. I just think that she was so perfect for the way they wanted to play because she likes to run in transition. She's super active on defense. She can play up and down. Like you can mm-hmm. put her on wings. You can put her on bigs. And she like does those help side rotations really well. She had a great season, like statistically speaking, from blocks. And like the three ball was working. I would like to see her make better decisions in transition. That was a theme as a whole with the Sparks, but you know, kind of everything. But yeah, I just think that a player of her size is so valuable because of all of the different roles they can play on the court. And I do think that her, like the fact that she had this breakout season in Los Angeles, like she came in on a training contract, like they cleared space for her, right? They got rid of Sydney mm-hmm. Lee's. Simone Augustus decides to retire and specifically says, like, I'm looking at players like Nia Coffee and Bria Holmes and seeing like how they're at the beginning of their careers and I want to make a space for them. So it seems to me that she would be a priority. I've been going back and forth in my head as to whether they would cut Brittany Sykes to get the money to keep her around, like if no trades with the protected contracts right. materialize. I think that might be a bridge too far because Brittany is, again, just the kind of player that Fisher wants in his system. Mm-hmm. But like if it were me, I think I would do that, but I'm not Derek Fisher. So
the thing with Brittany Sykes though, is that she's such a positive value contract. Like, I don't think you cut her. Like there is someone who will trade for her at $113,000 a year.
Yeah. I tried to move her like, during the mock off season and Richard was being just really obnoxious about it.
Him?
No. Did not treat it like a positive contract.
But it is, it's a super value contract. I mean, well, on one side of the ball, I think that's kind of the issue with the Sparks. And that's why I think that idea of potentially moving Sykes is a good one because there's just no offensive dynamo here,
right.
Especially when Tolliver's hurt. And I think one of the reasons they were better when Tolliver was around was just like, we get late in the shot clock. Well, throw it to Christy. She'll figure out some crap. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be a bad shot, but she makes it.
Or at least you can play like 4-on-4 and reduce some of the cramped spacing because someone right. is attached to her. And the problem with like Sykes is she was like quite good offensively in the 2020 bubble. Yeah. And then it just all fell apart. Like even the free throw shooting took a dive last year, which is really the problem because she's good at getting to the hoop and drawing fouls. And if that's not leading to points, then really what's happening? So I'm kind of with you there. Like they do need just some impetus on the offensive side of the ball. And if like that means having to unload Brittany, which I believe they could get something of value for her, like that, you know, she seems like a player you could plug in right away on a contending team. But I don't know. I would be prioritizing like the coffee sized players.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wings. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is really difficult because I just don't see the sort of offensive player, like the offensive minded player that can come in and create shots for themselves and others. That doesn't really exist on the market at the moment in terms of that on the wing side of things.
And Brianna Stewart's available, right?
And Brianna Stewart is technically available. Sue Bird is technically available. Give her a call. I mean, but really though, like you call Jordan Canada. I don't think Jordan Canada solves any of these issues, right?
Right. I mean, she seems like such a Sparks player, but like for the wrong reasons.
they already have so many Sparks players. They can't get more Jordan Canadas on this team.
Maybe she'll want to join Phoenix after they hire Vanessa Nygaard. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. If Phoenix hires a head coach, that could potentially put a dent in some of these free agents. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, like, I'm not even going to say, like, Odyssey Sims, like Courtney Williams. Like
Odyssey Sims, it ended badly in Los Angeles. I don't think that's the route we're going to go again.
Was that during the Fisher?
It was right before.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a new thing. Like, no one remembers any of that. I don't even think, is there anyone around from the organization when Sims left?
NECA. That's it.
No, that's it. And NECA's great. Who could be mad at NECA?
And I guess Christy kind of.
Oh, right. Yeah. But she was.
She left and came back. Yeah.
Right. But there's no one to blame here. All the people got fired that did that to Odyssey Sims. So maybe Odyssey Sims. And Courtney Williams could come in, but I don't see the great
fit. I like the Courtney Williams fit, okay, actually, because she is like, what's the word I want to look for? Like spicy enough on defense, you know, like we're
like that.
Punches above her weight there, but just the money, I don't think it's coming. She's going to demand. I don't know how much the whole fight thing is going to depress her market, because I think she's really good.
Yeah, she has to be. I don't know. I feel like it will affect things, because it's not getting in a fight to me. You know, it's like
posting it on YouTube.
Yeah, like look, people get into fights. You shouldn't do it. It's pretty easy to avoid. But if you're the certain type of person, I get it. You can get in a fight. That's not a big deal. It's post like having to tell the team about it and then posting it on YouTube after telling the team that wasn't your fault to talk, just go on YouTube and get, I don't even know how many views. I hope it was a lot of views, and then implicate your teammate. Like, I don't know. To me, I'd be like, I'm not signing her unless we really, really need to.
I could see it. I could see it in LA if they had the money, because she can get her own shot. Like if you, I mean, I just don't see the point, because you can't play her next to Tolliver.
Exactly.
Unless like you get rid of Wheeler and then that's your backcourt is Tolliver and Williams. But I don't know where the money shakes up.
And so, all right. So we're talking about the little moves on the periphery really, but I just don't, I don't know. What's your idea on like, how does this team get to being a championship contender? Like, I don't see a path at the moment for them to go where they are to a championship contender.
The championship contender is not happening this year. Like, let's just put that on the table. Unless Breanna Stewart signs with the Los Angeles Sparks, like it's not happening.
No, they can't afford her. So.
Yeah, they just clear a lot. You know, Brittany Sykes' value contract, right? Like, throw some picks to get rid of Zowie. The championship contender thing is not happening. They were very close to making the playoffs last year, right? You win that last game against Dallas, you're in the playoffs. Like I said, 10-9 with Tolliver in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I think like one game under 500 with Neca on the lineup. You make an argument like better health. This is already a playoff team. And like Jasmine Walker fits into that. Gabby Williams, like those are better players than Bria Holmes and Carly Samuelson last year. Like there's already an improvement there. And other than the Ogunwu case, like I don't think anybody's on the wrong side of the Asian curve. So I think there is reason to believe in
Tolliver.
Internal improvement. Yeah. Tolliver. Yeah. Sorry. But like all of their young players, I would imagine could just get like, you know, incrementally better. And that results in like more of a coherent process. They also just change so much of their roster from 20 to 21 that like the offense was always going to be a problem, frankly, because there was just no continuity whatsoever. So I think if they bring back Coffey like somehow and, you know, find like one other spacer, like you don't keep Cooper, you don't keep Cox, like I don't know who that is, because shooting always like gets paid premium, but
I was just
Becca
thinking,
Allen's an unrestricted free agent, right?
I was about to say Becca Allen. You're looking at the Becca Allen's or Sophie Cunningham's.
Did that like something like in that range? There's like a very clear path to the playoffs, I think, and that would be obviously an improvement from year to year. So I don't think they're looking to hit a home run in free agency this year. I think it's okay. Well, we set out this 2-year plan. You know, we don't obviously want to miss the playoffs again because that's embarrassing. But we think we have enough here to make the playoffs. And once a lot of these bad contracts clear, then maybe we can entice some other people who want to play with Jasmine Walker and Garantes and just these younger players that we have here.
Yeah, no, I think it, I guess just like, is getting to the playoffs going to be good enough for everyone to stick around? Like
Well, the beauty is that Derek Fisher is his own boss. So he is going to be sticking around.
Good enough for Derek Fisher. I mean, I don't know though, because like it is tough, because next year they could really hit the reset button. Next year, Walker and Griantas only players on contract. I'm sure there'll be some contracts given out. This year they'll go through 2023.
And they don't have a first. So
famously do not have a first round pick at the moment. They could get one in a trade potentially for Brittany Sykes.
I got a first when I traded away Chrissy Tolliver in the mock off season.
And you had to take back some What was it? It was
back Mariah Jefferson.
Mariah Jefferson and someone else. Oh, it was just Jefferson for Tolliver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think the play that they're gonna have to make is you got to start, to me at least, you got to start rebuilding now. And they have started it, to their credit. Like you mentioned, everyone here is younger. I'd say Wheeler's kind of approaching the point where I'm getting a little wary.
Yeah, yeah. If you could get value for Wheeler, by all means, go for it. Yeah.
I think this should be somewhat of a fire sale. And even if you, I think it's, you have to sell NECA on it. That's the person who needs to be involved mainly is, hey, look, if you want to be here long-term, we got to start tearing this down now so that we can have a championship level team in 23 or 24.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't think you can get rid of NECA because she's your face, right? And then if you don't get rid of NECA, you can't get rid of Chiney. So there's just like fewer things that you can get rid of. And those are the players that I believe are less attractive in a trade market. So as much as I would love for them to just tear it all up, like their chance was last year. Their chance was like, okay, well, Chelsea and Candice left. Like, let's not sign any old people. And they decided not to do that.
They went the complete opposite.
Complete opposite direction.
In fairness, that Tolliver signed after the 2019 season.
Right.
Yeah. But yes, they went the complete opposite direction. Now, I mean, I think in part that was because they had told NECA, hey, like, you're going to come back. And I don't know. Did they assume, do you think they thought that Candice was coming back and Chelsea was coming back last offseason?
That was the impression that I got. There was more worry about Chelsea, I think, than Candice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a perfect storm of badness.
It's a pretty bad look. Yeah. I gotta say, losing Chelsea Gray and Candace Parker in the same offseason.
Thank goodness they didn't play each other in the finals. That would have just been really bad.
And then we were real close to that happening. So I don't know. I mean, I just think now it's better to do it now when you can at least get some value for some of these players before they're whatever value is available. Uh-huh. You're going to have to get it now because next year everyone's a free agent and I don't see a lot of these players coming back. And I don't know, if you keep your draft pick this year and don't trade it for something stupid, you could potentially have a good draft pick next year.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, if we see Jasmine Walker like play to her potential, then hey, like it was worth making the trade, but also like, could she have been available at 10? Like, did you have to waste that on 70 Watts? Who knows?
Yeah. And it's like in that draft, like Jasmine Walker may have been available even if you hadn't picked her, because in the way other teams were constructed in front of them, that player may have been released midseason and you just go pick her up instead of wasting your first this year.
Yeah,
I think you know, our mindset would be a little bit different if they have, what pick did they end up getting? Got the fourth. Third pick.
Doesn't Dallas have the fourth?
No, they have four. So they got the, all right, so with the fourth overall pick, I don't know who you're going to get. Maybe like Elisa Kunin, or doesn't matter. Whatever player you can sell and say, hey, here's the future. I think it looks a lot better. And now you're just kind of stuck with this very veteran laden team that's not going to be around.
Yeah, they're just treating Jasmine Walker as a rookie this year because she was hurt last year.
Yeah. No, and she is. And she could be really good. I mean, her shooting in college was unbelievable. If her shooting's real at the pro level and she's healthy, that could be somewhat of a game changer, but should have to prove to be like a starter essentially for this to matter.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's necessarily something you
want. Will she be able to get in front of all of those other front court players that we mentioned earlier?
So you mentioned the last thing I want to bring up with the Sparks, because now we're getting into like sad territory of where I'm just like, I don't know what else to do.
It happens on our WNBA podcast with me and Evan. We have to like just cut it down at a certain segment.
We don't cut down anything, although we do have everything under an hour. Cooper, you mentioned that you don't think she's gonna come back?
Or? Oh no, I just said that like if you needed the money, that's where I think it would come from. I'm not the biggest Taya Cooper fan.
Okay.
I do think she provides something defensively. Her finishing around the rim just drives me up a wall. But the shooting, I don't think is real. And she shot decently her rookie season and like not well last year. So when you already have so many players who can't shoot, it's really hard to stomach that at your point guard position. Mm-hmm. And then I also think she's just a little too small for like the backcourt that you already have, right? Like they were starting games with her, Wheeler, and Tolliver at certain points. And like, they're just asking for a loss. Like it literally was like, we would see the starting lineup and like, there was a joke among the Sparks be like, oh, Fisher's not trying to win today. Like that's the goal here. So I'm just not sure I see a fit with this team, which shouldn't be the calculus by any means, because she's younger and like you want to think forward. Right. I don't think she's good enough offensively to be your point guard engine. And considering all of the other pieces that you have, like you kind of need to just get one good shot creator to make life easier on everybody else. Like it's gonna be so hard to chart the development of their other wings if nobody's able to create shots for them.
Right. No, I agree with that. Would you put Cox ahead of her in terms, just like, I know we have like a million centers on this roster.
Yeah, yeah.
But just like in terms of a developmental prospect from what you saw last year, would you put Cox ahead of Cooper?
That's a good question. I didn't see a ton out of Cox. So probably Cooper ahead of her. She's also like super marketable, which matters kind of in LA. Yeah. So I think I'd probably put Taya ahead of Lauren Cox.
And yeah. And Lauren Cox also has her, you know, marketability definitely just from her college days. Like she's very known. But yeah. Were they on the same Baylor team? I'll look it up.
Maybe I'm wrong, but.
I know she played. No, I don't. So 2019-2020. Yeah. No, that would be this. That'd be the same Baylor team with Lauren Cox. I thought it was reversed. Though she started at Baylor and ended up somewhere else.
Taya played for some just remarkably good college teams. But the fact that you played for so many of them is a little bit of cause for concern.
She played for Tennessee, South Carolina, and Baylor. It is, I don't know. I don't know how much of a concern that is. It's kind of cool when you think about it, because it kind of shows like, hey, this person's at least adaptable to new circumstances. But for example, the Miami men's team has a guy who's been on, this is his sixth school.
What?
Yeah. Charlie Moore has been on.
Transfer rules have gotten out of hand.
are we going back in my day talk now? Have we gotten to that point of the Sparks podcast? So I think Cooper, though, I would go with her in terms of in those two, just because I'm always going to choose the backcourt player for the most part.
Yeah, but if you get like a shooter who wants to come to LA, I say get rid of both of them.
Yeah, I wonder, can they do that? Let me tell you if they can do that, because they still need minimum roster spots.
Yeah.
And those two have a really low quality. Like,
you need to have for them to like use their second round pick this year on just like a spacer. Because like I mentioned Carly Samuelson earlier, how I think that the players they have this year will be better than her. The roster just like unclogged, like the rotation just like unclogged when she was there. Like you could just see, like, oh my God, like any amount of shooting just does wonders for this offense, which is why I was so confused when they traded Sydney Mason in the offseason. But
Sydney was here and I really enjoy her, but she was
not good for the Mystics, not at all. But she has been good for the Sparks. So
it was a rough watch with her. So I'm not sure she would have fixed the problems last year, but yeah, no, I agree.
I wonder if a reunion could be in the cards now that she realizes what life outside of Los Angeles looks like.
Well, and really she should have succeeded. Like, in theory, the theory of Sydney Weason.
Right. I thought they did a nice thing getting her into that spot in Washington. Like, it seemed like a good place for her to do well, and it just did not work out.
Let me see. Is she, what is she? She's unrestricted. Or no, she's under contract.
She's got a contract, but it's unprotected. So,
well,
Washington does not have a ton of room, right? You just wonder what they would want to do with it.
Yeah, 82,000. It's a little bit more. It just depends, though, because, like, if they only bring back Mayshon Zalen, not to make this a Mystics podcast, but if they're only bringing back Mayshon Zalen, like, they do have enough space to keep her on. There's potential there. But if she does get released, yeah, I think the first place she'd call is Los Angeles if they have a room.
Either that or her home in Phoenix, maybe to be a head coach.
Player coach, Sydney Weiss. Sure. Line her up. To the point, though, about second round shooters, Asia Shepherd, Virginia Tech. I have her in the first round, but I think a lot of people have her in the second round. So that's one of the players I think would work. That mold of just player who can shoot in some regard, get her on there. How many second round picks do they have this year?
Three.
Oh, great. Well, 3 seconds make a first, as everyone knows.
Well, maybe with more roster spots they would.
One thing, though, we should talk about, just with LA, because this comes up very often, is Liz Campage. So she's unrestricted free agent. She did not get cored by Las Vegas, which surprised some people. It didn't surprise me. I didn't think that was going to happen. We're going to assume for this podcast that she's playing in the WNBA.
Okay.
I talked with Richard Cohen. He said that he laid out all the reasons why she may not play. Mm-hmm. Assuming she does play, I don't think, like, there's just not that many landing spots that makes sense. So LA comes about because it's LA. She's expressed interest in LA. they could hypothetically, I guess, in some realm, clear enough cap space to bring her in. If all of that happens, how would you feel about Liz coming on this particular LA Sparks team?
I like Liz. I mean, okay, she's better than anybody else on the team. So that's, you know, a good place to start, yeah, just from a talent perspective. It's obviously not a long-term commitment with Liz, so you don't have to worry about setting back. I mean, depending on like what you have to do to clear the cap space, obviously, but her salary, I don't think, is going to be hampering your books for many years to come, just because I don't think she's in that place where she wants to sign a multi-year deal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't think she solves like the spacing concerns, because obviously we saw in Vegas that despite the theory of Liz Cambage as a shooter, it didn't quite work out that way. But I just think like she's just so much better than what they have, like as an offensive hub, you know, she could be fairly successful.
I don't think we're shutting the door on Liz Cambage as a shooter, just because Bill Laimbeer probably didn't believe in Liz Cambage as a shooter. And I don't think he believes in anyone as a shooter.
But the if Fish is willing to let Amanda Zawi be a shooter, then he's definitely willing to let Liz Cambage be a shooter.
So that's what I was going to ask. Like she just kind of steps into Amanda Zawi B's role and is better Amanda Zawi B. No offense to Amanda Zawi B.
Correct. Which is used to be ref by the same agent. No longer the case.
Right. Oh, right. Liz also does not have an agent. I don't know if she has an agent. We haven't heard anything since she fired her agent. There's also, did you see the picture?
Was it a firing or just like a parting of ways?
I don't know. Whatever people want to say. She does not have the agent that she had before.
Who is based in Los Angeles? Let's know.
That's Allison Galler, right?
Allison Galler, yeah.
Galler, yeah. She's, I guess she's not rep there anywhere. I don't know. That was like the start of the agency too, is when she got on. But regardless, did you see the picture of her that was on Twitter the other day?
The DC one?
The DC one. That's not in DC. I got duped by it. I live in DC. I was like driving around. I was like, there's no way there's that much snow on the ground anywhere in Washington, D.C. for her to take this picture. I was looking at the weather in Gaithersburg, because there's a big Six Sports, which is a big agency, is mm-hmm. in Gaithersburg. But I was like, wait, there's not that much snow on the ground there. Why would she come to the agency if they're trying to pitch her? So I'm telling you guys right now, she was not in D.C. I don't know where she was, but she was not in D.C.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see a lot of good fits for her around the league, because like, I mean, like, she's not going to want to play for Kurt Miller if she doesn't go back to Vegas. Like, I don't think the relationship with her and Sandy is great.
Probably not.
Or New York, right? Which, like, fit-wise, I think makes a lot of sense for her. Is Seattle going to spend money on her? Like, that doesn't really make sense to me, but I guess
Seattle has it.
Yeah, if you decide, like, we don't want Mercedes Russell, we want Liz Cambage, I just wonder why you would disturb like this perfectly crafted chemistry that you have for Sue Bird's final season. just seems like a lot to introduce into the mix.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they would rather go after someone like Tina Charles if they're going the route of bringing in another star to assumingly Lloyd, Bird, and Stewart. Lloyd was Cord. Bird's obviously not going to come back to a different team, mm-hmm. and it seems like Stewie's coming back. So with those three in the fold, it makes sense on court, but she Cambage should have to take a small discount,
right?
I don't know how small, because it would depend on the discount that Sue Bird is taking
and a smaller role, like offensively.
But she did that with Vegas to a certain.
Was she happy about it?
I don't know. Like when she got there, I guess it was not Asia wasn't quite the superstar that she is now.
Right, she was just Rookie of the Year, Asia.
No. I don't know. The only other place I have on this list, because I had Seattle, and as you mentioned, I don't think the juju, like, you don't want to mess with the feng shui. Don't mm-hmm. move the, if you like the living room, don't change it. Seattle, New York, as you mentioned, could be potential problems with the head coach. And I don't, like, that would kind of go against the entire ethos of the Jonathan Cobb New York Liberty experiment at the moment. I don't know. They did firewall
hop. To me, the Jonathan Cobb ethos is also like, let's get talent in here.
which it would work out with the whole, I just think that's like, I don't know. Like you got a good thing kind of going in New York. That's another situation where it's like, let's see how this plays out first before
right.
There's another big element. And then Vegas. So I think it's we've come down on this podcast to Atlanta and Vegas. Atlanta just makes sense because they have a ton of cap space. They're in a big city. They could give her, they could give Liz whatever she wants in terms of a role. So I like the Atlanta fit. I think
I would assume she has a good relationship with Dan Padover too, just having been in Vegas and like these weird off seasons, you know, they probably had a lot of communication over the past. So
yes, which I don't know if that would be legal. I don't think that's legal at the moment. Well, no, it is now. They're allowed to talk to each other.
It doesn't seem like free agency has started because again, nothing has happened, but they are allowed to talk.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some more reporting. There was the Raquana Williams snafu, and I felt bad for all involved there because that's just, it's a tough break.
Are you the one who tweeted, like, just imagine reading this with no context? Like, Chicago has not offered a contract to Raquana Williams.
I did tweet that, but that's hilarious.
Yeah.
We have not offered her anything. We want to make it very clear we're not in on Raquana Williams.
Another player the Sparks last offseason.
Yeah, and another player that would help the Sparks this offseason, who they cannot afford.
Yeah.
Sad times. But Atlanta, the thing with Atlanta, to get back to Liz Campaign, just finish off that thought, like, I just don't, unless they sign a bunch of people, unless they bring in like a, you know, Tina Charles or whatever, like, I don't see why they would go after Liz Cambage because what are they trying to win this year?
Yeah, it all depends on Liz's motivations, right? Like, why would she want to come to LA if she's trying to win? All due respect to Sparks. Like, if you want to win, there's other opportunities.
It's LA though.
Yeah, that's me why I think the Sparks are a more logical destination than Dream because, like, it's Atlanta. It's not like it's not LA. There's stars on the jerseys.
she could be in a Marvel movie if she goes to Atlanta. That actually, I would be all in on Liz Camp. Actually, I have a good role for her based on the comics. I should write about that before. But Atlanta makes some sense. But yeah, I think it's going to be Vegas. Just because I don't see another place that makes sense. However,
I would like to see Atlanta just take salary dumps and acquire assets. That's what I would like to see instead of going after high profile free agents.
The thing is, I don't know what, like, who are they going to get assets from other than LA, as we talked about at length.
Phoenix.
Phoenix, though, I mean, they don't have a first round pick this year. They have their first round pick next year. That could be an interesting pickup, but I don't see a salary dump that they need because they don't have any.
Are you going to play Bria Hartley, Aaron McDonald, Kennedy Carter together?
Why not? I mean, for Atlanta, who cares? If I don't think Phoenix is even trying to get rid of Bria Hartley because, you know, that's like a reputational thing is like, hey, we signed you. You played great the first season and you got hurt. Like, it would be really,
that's true.
Be really like skeezy to just let her to trade her now, especially.
I don't know if it's skeezy. Like, it's, hey, we need to balance our roster, you know, with like different positions.
Yeah, but you knew this was gonna. They knew this was gonna happen. Like, nothing's changed for them. You know, it's not like a situation where it's like, oh, we lost Candace Parker and Chelsea Gray. Now we have to.
We lost Kinnears.
we lost the player that we brought in after you to replace you when you were hurt. Yes. Yeah. It's
admission of wrongdoing at the very least. I don't know if it's skeezing.
I think it's if I was the agent, I'd be pretty pissed.
This is a role that you know how to occupy. So I will defer to your expertise here.
I am an expert, I guess. I got plenty of people money. It was really easy to be an agent in WNBA. It's not in terms of the contract negotiation phase. I'm just trying to see. I'm trying to look for assets that they could take. Maybe from Dallas, they could take a Mariah Jefferson. They ended up in the mock off season taking Isabel Harrison, I believe.
Right. They made like a full on consolidation trade there. Dallas did to get Cheyenne Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that could be there. There's somewhere that you could look. But honestly, if I'm Dallas, I kind of like Isabel Harrison over Cheyenne Parker. I saw her last year and, you know, I enjoy what she does. I think she fits in pretty well with the idea. So I don't know. I just like for Atlanta, I'm with you. I'd love to see them collect assets. I just don't see where those assets are. And maybe bringing in, Liz.
I don't know. Maybe Minnesota needs to clear some room. Like
whoever signs Liz could clear some room. That's probably the answer is like, whoever's going to sign Liz is going to need the room to do it. And they'll have to trade with an Atlanta or possibly an Indiana, but we don't have to talk about Indiana, man. That's it's a whole mess.
They're going
to
be just hyping up Nia Coffey next year.
Nia Coffey coming in $180,000 contract protected for the next 3 years. I could see that happening. I could see that happening because they're not going to have much more. They did. I don't understand.
You should go to Indiana under those terms.
if you get that, go ahead, India. The Kaiser Gondrzik thing in Indiana, I don't know if we want to briefly touch on that. That timing was bizarre to me. I still don't understand what happened there.
Yeah, so she had expressed that she sat out the second half of the season to work on her mental health, right? Mm-hmm. And then they just got her. Shortest press release of all time.
We've got her.
It's like Michael Jordan, like, I'm back. That's how short it was.
She's gone. Period. Send press release. I mean, all right, I get it, because like I think to a certain extent it was like, well, yeah, you could have let it, like, I'm not sure she let the team know where she was last year when she left, so I could see why they would want to move on from her. It's just from like a team building perspective, it doesn't make sense to do it now. Like,
right, like, you should wait for all of free agency to transpire. Like, her cap hold is pretty limited. You don't have any guaranteed money on the hook for her. Like, it's,
you're Indiana. What are you doing? Like, you need, if
there's also a, like, it's really quick to give up on somebody. She played like what, 19 games?
Exactly. If there's a 1% chance that she's a good player, you absolutely have to take it if you're Indiana. You want to know why?
Not though, because they don't believe that there's a 1% chance of Lauren Cox being a good player either.
Well, and that's, and I don't get, like, there's just no salary cap reason to do any of these moves. I'm just not sure if there's someone in Indiana who is keeping track of any of this, because like, they didn't release Cox when they did. They didn't need to release Gondrzik when they did. Obviously, those contracts that they gave out last year are, as much as I like Jontel Lavender and Daniel Robinson was really good last year, but like, there's still negative value contracts. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I think it's a terrible look and it's a bad basketball move.
Yep. I have nothing to add there. It's, agree 100%.
Yeah. Oh crap. We have 5 minutes to get to two more things I want to talk about. Diamond the Shields. As we mentioned before the podcast, she has met with like half the league. She says she's probably not coming back to Chicago. This was reported by
Annie Costable, right?
There it is.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to think of who it was. Annie Costable, Chicago Sometimes. She reported that Diamond Shields feeling like she's not coming back to Chicago. Makes sense given their salary cap situation. We don't have to get into all of that, but what was your reaction to that news? And which of the three teams do you think she's narrowed it down to? Let's make predictions.
Atlanta number one.
Okay.
I don't know what Diamond wants. Like, does she want to be a lead ball handler? Because where are those options coming for her?
I like how you said it, that she wants to be Kalia Copper.
She wants to be Kalia Copper. Yeah, that's what she wants. I don't know that she is. Like, the finishing, not quite there. Just the decision making, not quite there. I don't think she's met with Washington. The fit doesn't make a lot of sense to me there because she can't shoot. Where else could she be meeting? I could definitely see Derek Fisher giving her a meeting. I can't imagine that. That's one of her top three choices, though. So many Sparks qualities in Diamond to Shields.
I was about to say, this is 100% of Sparks player. Yeah, bring in her and Jordan Canada. Run it
definitely
back.
One of the six teams. I'm 100% sure. I don't think they're a top three finalist. I could see Vegas having interest in her.
Yeah.
Just adding a little bit of like dribble penetration to their offense. Yeah, maybe like Vegas, Atlanta, and I don't know. I'm going to say New York.
Yeah. I'm going to Atlanta for sure. I think that's where she ended up in the mock off season, just for everyone's edification. And so I think Atlanta
makes sense. She's from there, right?
Norcross High School legend, her and Jody Meeks and several other basketball players, but that's one I think about with Jody Meeks. So Atlanta for sure is up there. I don't know, maybe like throw Dallas into the mix. Although Dallas is kind of weirdly like hand strung themselves with the Bell Allery
thing. Yeah.
You know, with them guaranteeing the fourth year options on Bell Allery and Ty Harris, like they're weirdly hamstrung. So maybe that one's off, but Las Vegas makes a ton of sense basketball wise. And you know, and maybe she is looking to just continue to be in this sort of good team role so she can eventually become Kalia Copper somewhere. So I don't know. I'll throw in like Connecticut as a possible destination, but I definitely agree with you. Atlanta's would be my number one
Yeah, I think she wants a place to be able to spread her wings a little bit after being marginalized a little on Chicago, and for good reason, you know.
Like, they won the title. No, you can't. Yeah. And so I definitely agree with you though. Atlanta would be a great fit.
To see her on a good team to see if there's a way for her to, you know, fit into a broader ecosystem, because it didn't quite work out in Chicago.
I'm trying to see Minnesota. Minnesota may have some space, although that they don't really have a role for her. She'd be on the bench again. Washington, if they had space, would be a great fit, I think, actually. Even though she doesn't shoot, like, they just kind of need someone that can get downhill a little bit more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So she wouldn't make sense. I just don't think they'll have enough space, depending on who they get. And especially if they end up drafting Ryan Howard, then you don't need Diamond the Shields.
Yes, the number one pick in Washington. I forgot about that.
I'm excited. I haven't been able to do like much draft prep as a Mystics mainly reporter in the past few years. So it's exciting to get the number one pick. All right, last thing. Courtney Vandersloot taking meetings elsewhere. It's a thing. We don't know where she's taking meetings yet, right? That hasn't been reported. Mm-hmm. But she's taking meetings. To a certain extent, I think she's getting intel on other teams to bring back to the Sky. But is it something? Is it nothing? Like, could Courtney Vandersloot be on the move?
I think it's nothing. I think this is Courtney Vandersloot being an unrestricted free agent for the first time. And she told Chicago, right, she wanted to be in free agency, right? She wanted to experience it. It's just like a matter of being wooed, right? Like, yeah. I think players enjoy the visits, right? I mean, I've seen a lot of the Vegas ones. They really cam it up for the players. So I just think it's a fun time to meet in free agency. And like you said, her being a mole is actually quite interesting. I'd forgotten about that potential angle. I remember Dwayne Wade doing that for Pat Riley back in the day.
That's where we got the idea, baby.
Involving Chicago. But yeah, I don't think it's anything. I think she and Allie are coming back to Chicago. I think they're going to run it back. And I apologize for not providing more salacious content here, but that's my opinion.
we can very briefly fantasize about Courtney Vandersloot and Sue Bird in the same backcourt in Seattle.
The amount of passing talent there is insane.
I'd love to see it though, because like we could then see Courtney Vandersloot like mainly looking for her shot. Although I mean, she's still on the team with Lloyd and Stewart in this fake world. That's not happening. It's not happening. But it'd be Courtney Vandersloot.
It'd be great.
The shooter, like
she just signs a 1-year deal, and then Allie retires, and Sue Bird retires, and then she goes back to Seattle with all of the knowledge that she has from this year's meeting.
Oh, maybe it could. It stranger things have happened, but I don't. I'm with you. I don't think it's anything. I think Courtney Vandersloot is coming back to Chicago, and that's about all I got on the docket today. We didn't get to talk about our anti-US WNBA coaching staff. The Russia coaching staff that we briefly talked about on Twitter yesterday with Becky Hammon, insert Phoenix head coach, Marianne Stanley, Derek Fisher, and Tanisha Wright coaching the Russian team. Becky's a citizen to coach against the
LA Five. Yeah, that's why it was the first country that came to mind for me.
So it would be, and we could have the whole tournament, Canada, Australia, Team USA, and then the Russia coaching staff with all four, that'd be all 12 WNBA coaches.
Yeah, Derek Fisher could finally coach Maria Vidiva again.
he's gonna have to play her at the two next year. Don't worry. All right,
probably shoot better than any of the two guards.
We'll talk about
Maria Vidiva. I fantasize about the five wing lineup. Like, I want to see Garantes, Coffey, Gabby Williams, Jasmine Walker, and Brittany Sykes together. That's what I want at some point next season.
Well, I assure you that probably will not happen, just because we've said it now on this podcast. And because of that, one of these players will be traded, assuredly. Sabrina, I do you have anything else that we should talk about? Did I miss anything?
No, that's about it. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything coming down the pike that we should be keeping our eye out?
I have some stuff that I'm not allowed to talk about yet.
Very secretive.
But Evan and I will be restarting the step through once things pick up with WNBA free agency. So keep an eye on that on YouTube. And yeah, I'm on SB Nation, so I'm always up there.
All right. Well, you can find links down below in the description for everything that Sabrina's doing and all the reports that we mentioned. I think I have all of them in the show sheet. If I don't, I'll find them. And we will talk to you guys next week right here on the Her Hoop Stats podcast.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.